for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September 5th, 1999. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ken and Annie Schitzler are the ministers of the morning from Uruguay, South America. She is the girl that God gave the visions of Annie to in the books called Annie's Visions.
Praise the Lord. You know, we hear people that talk about the past generation, about the future generation, but my trouble is I'm living in time. I live now. So I need God now. Amen? So certainly the purposes of God are in every generation to show himself, and he has his remnant. God knows where they live. He knows their address. He knows where we are, right? And certainly he is faithful to his people in every generation. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And he's never turned aside from it. And that purpose is to bring us into the very glory of his own presence. There's something beyond justification and sanctification and any other terminology we could fit to the process of God in our work, and that's glorification. His end purpose is to glorify us in Jesus Christ. And I always have dwelt much in the gospel according to John chapter 17. This is not my message today, but in verse 24, I hear the heartbeat of Christ. Whenever I read this chapter, I do so with great reverence because, as been said, it's the throne room of the Bible. It's where you can hear the heartbeat of Christ, the heartbeat of Jesus. And this is what he says, Father, I will that they also, which thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That is the ultimate purpose of God in Jesus Christ, to show us his glory, that we might dwell in his glory. And maybe some people have thought, well, that's pie in the sky stuff, you know. It's off yonder somewhere. I can assure you it is not. I can assure you that as we come to God, as we approach him, as we know him, as we develop and grow in him, we find there is a place of glory now. There is a river that maketh glad the city of God. There is a place. There is a realm, there is an intimacy, there is a sanctuary where we can see and view and rejoice and just simply bask in the glory and the presence of Jesus Christ. But my text for this day is in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 13. One of the things that God is taught us through the years is to pay attention to godly principles. You know, it's one thing to enjoy God's blessing and enjoy the results of what he's doing, his power. But it's quite another thing to learn godly principles. Because if you learn principles, then you can apply them any time. You don't have to wait for next Sunday or next camp meeting to enjoy the results of what God does, because as you've learned, as you apprehend, as you assimilate those principles in your life, you can apply them any time, under any circumstance. And so God has taught us through the years. He's teaching us. We still have a lot to learn, a long way to go. He's teaching us His principles. And there's a principle that says that God purposes to come and to bless us. And then He establishes the parameters of that blessing, of that coming. And then He sets to work to bring us into the conditions that make that blessing possible in our lives. And so it's of paramount importance in our lives that we learn how to place ourselves within the parameters of what God purposes to accomplish and to do in our lives. And we said a few minutes ago, it's God's ultimate purpose in Jesus Christ to bring us into the place of glory, into the place where we truly view and bask in the wonder and the marvel of the person of Jesus Christ. This is what our text is talking about. It says, "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify," or as it says in Spanish, "to adorn the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious." This is one of the many passages in this wonderful book that speak of restoration. How many know that God is restoring? God is bringing into fulfillment. And we're living in the last days. It's been brought out already in this camp meeting. We're living in the last times where God is shaping things up to bring it into the ultimate fulfillment of His Word. He says, "I will make the place of my feet glorious." This is not something that man has schemed to do. This is God's purpose. This is God speaking. So whenever God speaks, we should prick up our ears and listen very well. I mean, man can say a lot of things. We can speak a lot of our beliefs and our own thoughts about what God says. But when God says something, well, it's time to really listen and allow that word to come into our hearts. But first of all, I'd just like to point out the fact that God is speaking of bringing trees into His sanctuary. How many know that in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, it speaks of the trees of righteousness? Who are the trees of righteousness? Praise God. God's a God of infinite variety. Amen. There's all kinds of trees. We mentioned three kinds of trees that are being brought into His sanctuary to beautify and adorn that place, His temple. Well, just look around you and look at the variety. Some are tall timber, like our brother Speed here. Some are short and heavy at the seams. Down in Uruguay, we have a tree called the bald fir. Brother Gary there is smiling knowingly at me. It's the kind of tree that the leaves fall off in the wintertime. I'm still waiting for spring to come around. Praise God. Well, God's a God of infinite variety. He's bringing His trees. He's bringing His trees together. For what purpose? To beautify His sanctuary. To make a beautiful place for His glory to dwell. Isn't that wonderful? What a purpose. What a high calling. What a destiny God has established for us. God, help us to come into that, to come into the knowledge of it, to come into the understanding of it. Also in Psalm 92 and verse 12, it speaks of the righteous being as the palm tree, flourishing in the desert place. Also speaks of the righteous in the same verse as being as the trees of Lebanon. Again, there we have it. An immense variety of scenarios, and yet in every place God causes His people to be groomed. He causes His people to be prepared and readied to be brought into His sanctuary. But especially, I would like to dwell in passing on the thought that the glory of Lebanon is spoken of. You know, that speaks of the mountains there. It speaks of a scenario where the winds buffet and assault. I think we all know that the best timber usually comes from trees or from wood that has been buffeted by the storms of life. The best fiber has been worked into it because of the environment of adversity or difficulty that it had to grow in. And you know, God is preparing the trees for His final dwelling place from many different scenarios. I'm certain if we took the time today, we could fill up the day and beyond telling of the different problems and adversities and trials each one of us have had to face. But I want to tell you today, my dear friend, that it's not without a purpose. Because God is grooming us. God is building into the fiber of our being, into the fiber of our nature, that which will allow us to beautify His temple, to make a beautiful place for His dwelling place. And I'm certain that you're aware of the fact that God does not dwell in temples built with hands. There is a living temple, and we are the living stones. Using another illustration, we are actual participants. We are part of the structure that God is edifying, that God is building up. And so we are able to realize that all those things in our life that sometimes we do not understand, or mostly we do not understand, have a purpose in God's dealing. There's a purpose behind those dealings, behind those things that, oh, so often we question and say, Lord, why? Have you ever asked that?
Yes.
A lot of times you don't get an answer. But we usually get our answer in the long run as we look back, as we view, as we see why God did such and so a thing and why He allowed that certain condition to cross our pathway, to allow that adversity in our life. It is to work into our being, to work into our nature, that which will allow us to beautify and adorn His temple. You know, as we look at one another this morning, I'm certain as you look at me, you feel the same. We just look like plain old trees, right? Just plain old trees. Maybe I look like a box tree. Someone said maybe that's the four square people, you know? Well, you know, there's many times there's a lot more than what meets the eye. And bless God, He's investing, as Danny was bringing out these days. He's investing in us. He's putting of Himself within us. The outward man is wasting away. It's wearing away, as you can see. But bless God, within there's an ongoing work and dealing of God. There's an investment of God within our lives. One of the most beautiful things that Annie has seen in the spiritual and the heavenly realm. God once showed her His temple. And He showed her how that, on that occasion at least, the walls and the ceiling of that temple were made up of angelic beings. And you know what? They were doing nothing. They were just standing there. They were the walls of that temple. They were the very structure of that dwelling place of the glory of God. And they were just there. They were not expressing. They were not saying anything. They were not voicing any praise. They were just standing there, quiet. Just adorning the temple of God. You know, I feel in my soul, I'm convinced of this through Scripture and through what God has revealed to us, that there's no higher state of worship than just to adorn the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Just to show forth with our very life, just to express through our very presence and being with Him how wonderful, how beautiful He is. God doesn't need actually our words anyway. When Annie goes to heaven, God never communicates with her with audible words. It's always, she just knows. and God knows. And so He doesn't need our terms of communication. There's something so wonderful. The highest place of worship, the highest place of adoration is when we no longer have anything to say. And the anointing and the presence of God is so real within our beings that it's just there, and you know it. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And if you've never been there, of course, you don't know what I'm talking about. But all this is to say there is a purpose in God in our lives to form us, to groom us, to mold us, to bring us into that place where we become a living worship unto God. A living adoration to the glory of God. I mentioned already the scripture, but there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 it says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Adorn is what we could call ornamental worship. Not the physical ornaments, but the spiritual ornaments. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Listen to this. Let this grab you. Which is in the sight of God of great price. It's in the sight of God, my dear ones. You know, we're so worried about our outward appearance and by what others might think of us and what others might view in us, but God looks, as we know, and we've been told, and we've learned this from Sunday school on, God looks upon the heart. But it seems like we never really get around to fully apprehending how important that is to Him. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Even though we never achieve a recognized position in this world. You know, there's a lot of saints that never appear on a marquee, whose name never appear on a billboard, whose name never will come across the, what do you call that, idiot screen? No, TV screen. The idiot box, I think they call it, right? There's a lot of wonderful saints that will never appear there. But in the sight of God, they are precious, 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 precious. Because they've learned the secret. They've learned the secret of coming to Him. They've learned how important it is in the sight of God that we be true and sincere and righteous unto Him, not before the eyes of man, but unto Him. And so the highest state in worship is to simply be there when God is there. Yes, yes, we need to express. Yes, there's a place in the outer courts where we rejoice, where we jump, where we dance, where we sing. There's a place, yes, for that. But there's a place beyond it. It's within the veil, as was spoken of this morning. It's beyond the veil. There's a place where we, as we bask in His presence, our very life exudes and emanates the very worship that the Holy Spirit alone can place within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So much for the ornamental trees of the sanctuary. I would like to draw our attention again to that phrase that God said, I will make the place of my feet glorious. I will. You know, when God says, I will, there's nothing in heaven or in hell that can stop Him from bringing it to pass. God said to Annie once when she was in doubt about having accomplished the will of God on a certain occasion, He says, I always accomplish my will. I always fulfill my desire. And so God is saying, I will make the place of my feet glorious. You know that term glorious? Maybe we throw it around and sometimes we really don't understand it. The closest we can get to in our natural world is maybe a beautiful sunset view. Have you ever been at a beautiful spot, a beautiful point, and as you look to the setting sun, how beautiful it looks? I know we usually look at sunset because we don't get up in time for sunrise, right? But we usually describe that scenario as glorious, beautiful, and we endeavor to find the right wording, sublime and transcendental and who knows what else. But actually, glorious is not to be understood except in the presence of God. And we cannot apprehend it unless we've been there. So, as we said earlier, God establishes His parameters and then he works by His Spirit so patiently, so constantly, to bring us into the realm where we can understand, where we can apprehend, where we can open our eyes and our hearts to perceive what He wants to bring us into us. But simply said, it means full of light and splendor. Full of light and splendor. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him. You know, that's hard for us to understand because we're creatures of the shadows. Even when we have all the lights on, look at all the shadows around us. We're used to the shades of gray, even in what we call a lighted environment. But God is full of light. There's no darkness in Him. Not even the slightest shadow. He fills everything with glory, with splendor, with light. And so when God says, I will make the place of my feet glorious, He's saying, I will make it a place of splendor, a place of light. I will fill it with my light. I will fill it with my glory. And we know that the glory of God is the expression of His attributes, of the virtues of His nature, of His person. These are expressed, and as they're expressed, as they're proclaimed, it fills the ambience, it fills the atmosphere, it fills the scenario where He is with splendor and light. And so God says, I am going to make the place of my feet glorious. Hallelujah. And secondly, I would like you to observe the fact that there is an equivalency in terms. The place of my sanctuary, as we look at our verse 13. The place of my sanctuary is the same as the place of my feet. The place of my sanctuary is the same as the place of my feet. I will make my sanctuary. I will make the place of my feet glorious. You know, it would be safe to say that anywhere on earth where God is truly worshipped in spirit and in truth, you have the very footstool of God. That is the place of His feet. Wherever He is honored, wherever He is revered, wherever He is truly loved and worshipped. You know, if I ever renamed my church, I would call it God's Footstool. Or the place of His feet. We call it Peniel, which means I've seen God face to face, which is about the same. God's footstool, the place of His feet. The place of His feet. What is that place? Where is that place? How can we come into it? God says, according to the principle that we expressed at the beginning, He desires to come and bless us. He wants to bring us into the parameters of His blessing. Where is the parameter of His blessing? It's at His footstool. So to come into that place, to know His glory, to know His splendor, to know His light, we need to come in to His footstool. You know, sometimes we think, well, if we can muster all the best words we know, and if we can go to worship seminars, you know, you need those too. But if we can learn to do this and we can learn to do that, if we could just, you know, learn to pitch our voices in the right tone and sing in harmony and do everything right, then maybe we could have a glimpse, a taste of His glory. I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't come that way. It comes at His footstool. There is a place at His feet. It's really quite uncomplicated and simple. You know, we're the ones that complicate God. He's very direct, very simple. Right? Amen? Would you say amen? As Brother Cook would say, come on now. Don't leave me high and dry. It's quite simple. The place of His feet. And we know that everything that has been expressed and promised in the Old Testament converges on the New. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise, of every word of God. He is the culmination of God's plan and purpose. So, if I'm going to find God's footstool and come into His glory and be a part of that which beautifies and adorns His sanctuary, guess what? I have to find my place at the feet of Jesus. That takes simplicity. That takes humility. That takes letting go, letting loose. Sometimes people say, well, what's the difference between South America and North America? How come down there you guys talk of meetings that last between 7 and 11 hours? And how come that doesn't happen up here? I'll just tell you in one word, and he's saying it already, simplicity. You know, people down there don't feel like they have a lot to lose anyway. So they surrender themselves to God. They just say, Lord, I'm nothing. I don't have anything to lose, really. I have everything to gain if I give my all to You. Would it be, could it be that up this way people are still holding on to things? Could it be that we're still negotiating with God and saying, well, Lord, you know, I got some things I'd like to hold on to, some pet pastimes or, you know, things that occupy my attention. You know, Lord, You have to accommodate the gospel to North America. You know, up this way we got our lifestyle and we're the seat of civilization. So You're going to have to accommodate Your principles to our ways. But I see that God doesn't accommodate Himself at all. He seeks to accommodate us to His way. And so, simplicity. Coming down, bowing our heart before Him. Oh, goes such a long way in bringing us to the place of His glory. Hallelujah. I'd like to give you at least six scriptures and the Bible that somehow get across to us where that place of His glory is. Amen. Mark chapter 7 and verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him, of Jesus, and came and fell at His feet. She had a tremendous need. A need that went beyond the boundaries of her own abilities to respond to, find the solution to. But she came and cast herself. She fell at the feet of Jesus. Unashamedly, she placed herself in a position of need. The place of glory, let me begin with this. The place of glory is the place where the needy come. Where the needy come. The needy ones. I think it was Moody, the great evangelist of foregone years, that said, Lord, make me a better beggar. Make me a better beggar. Teach me how to come before You and always need You. Never be self-sufficient. Never try to find the answers within the confines of my own understanding, my own mind, my own beliefs about my beliefs. But let me come just as a needy beggar at your feet. I've seen so many times this happen. A sin-drenched, bound person will come into the presence of God, and God will so marvelously move and change and transform. In the very same service, they go from hell to heaven. They go from gal to glory. What makes it possible? Not that they've learned and been cultured in the ways of the gospel and suddenly learned all the mannerisms that we're supposed to express. They just simply came to the feet of Jesus. And the feet of Jesus is the footstool of God. It is the place that He said, I will make glorious. So that means this morning we can be distraught with our needs. We can have a pile of needs a mile high in our lives. But if we just come and drop at the feet of Jesus, if we just cast ourselves before Him, we will suddenly find ourselves in the very glory of His presence. Hallelujah. Do I sound like I've been there? I have. I hope it sounds like that. And you know what? I still need Him. Many, many times I come and fling myself at His feet. Oh, hallelujah. What a change. David said in Psalm 73, he was saying, he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. He was being affected by. He was saying, Lord, how can this happen? Lord, I'm envying the wicked and why they're prospering, why they're having success. And he really got out of perspective. He lost his focus. But he said, when I came into the sanctuary, then I understood. When I came into the sanctuary. So many times we're oppressed and needy. You know, God put His life within a very frail and feeble structure called our body. But you know why? One of the reasons is to always bring us back to Him. He never got after His disciples for coming to Him with their problems. He got after them when they didn't come. Amen? So you're never going to bother Him if you fall at His feet time and time again. You're never going to bother Him if you express your need. Lord, I need You today. Sometimes that's the most effective kind of prayer. You know, at the beginning of our ministry in Uruguay, for the first 2 years, we had a, pardon the expression, a hell of a time. It was terrible. God had spoken. He had sent us to that place, but it seemed like every demon in hell was against us. Our finances were low. We were affected in our emotions, in our whole outlook, and it seemed like we just lost our bearings. But praise God, I learned the importance of making a beeline for the presence of God at that time. And you know, my most effective prayers, I'll tell you how they were like. Oh, God, I need You. Yes. Praise God. You know, and I got through. At least it seems like it. After 20 years, God is blessed. He's mightily brought His presence. There's the people responding to Him. If you ask me how it happened, I have to trace it back to that moment when I fell at His knees, on my knees at His feet and said, Lord, I just need You. So hallelujah. If there's any that qualify, any needy ones here, you can find the place of His glory. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 30. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with Him those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And we know the outcome. He healed them. That's only a what you call a collateral blessing. The most wonderful thing is that they were placed at the footstool of God. They were placed in the very glory of the sanctuary of God. So, the place of glory, what is it? It's the place where the sick draw nigh, where the maimed, whatever our condition, we can draw nigh there at the place of His glory. He'll do what He has to do. He'll cast out demons. He'll heal. He'll bring inner healing or whatever other kind of healing you need. But the important thing is the outcome. You're placed in the place of His glory. You have been brought into the sanctuary of the Most High. And there's something beyond the fact of just receiving that blessing that stimulated you to come to His presence. The outcome is to see, Lord, Your desire is to show me Your glory. To involve me in what makes You so wonderful and so beautiful. You want to reveal Yourself. You want to show Yourself to me. Hallelujah. So the place where the sick draw nigh, that's the place of His glory. Hallelujah. John chapter 11, verse 32. John 11, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet. We know the occasion. It was when Lazarus, her brother, was dead in the tomb. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And we know, of course, the outcome. I'm not dwelling on the outcome, on the miracle in itself. Just putting in evidence, just showing to you how they came at His feet, or to His feet, to the footstool of God. That is the place where heartaches and doubts and fears are addressed. We're not beyond discouragement. You know, even prophets get discouraged sometimes. Sometimes even prophets sit under their juniper tree. Amen? So we're not beyond it. But we know there's a place where we can come, where Jesus addresses our doubts, our fears, our anxieties, our trepidation. There's a place, and that place is at His feet. And the wonderful thing is we can exchange our doubts and our fears for the revelation of His glory in a new measure, in a new way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's keep going. I know we're getting close to 12 o'clock. And again, I don't know if those are really clocks or demons sometimes, you know. I'm really astounded at the fact that you've left them in this building. But anyway, Luke chapter 10 and verse 31. And she had a sister. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. She also sat at Jesus' feet. You know the story. Martha got uptight. She was busy. She was occupied in much doing. And Mary just sat there at Jesus' feet. It's the place where those who would learn of Him do gather. It's the place where those who would learn of Him. There's one thing to learn from me or anybody else, but it's quite a different thing to learn of Him. You can only learn of Him when you sit at His feet. When you take time, when you become quiet in your heart, when you know, stop all the other rat race of things that are going on around you and just still your soul and heart in His presence. You begin to learn from His own mouth, direct from Him to you. I know we need preachers. I know we need the foolishness of preaching. I know we need teaching. I know we need instruction. I know we need information. But each and every one of us can go direct to Him and sit at His feet and learn of Him. The impartation, not only of His words, because His words are not just verbal expressions. It's the very impartation of His nature. He is the living Word. He is the Word. And as He speaks, as He shares, as He imparts, that Word comes into our hearts. So the place of glory is the place where those who would learn of Him do gather. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17 and verse 16. Luke 17 and verse 16. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed? Nine of them continued on their way. Jesus had said, go show yourself to the priest. But they misunderstood. They didn't realize the priest was there already. So they turned away. But there was one who fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was not Hebrew. He was not Jew. I won't say he was a Gentile because I was told not to. He fell at his feet, giving thanks. What does that say to us? It says that the place of his glory is the place where the thankful come. The thankful of heart. Not just wordy thankfulness, but spirit-felt, inspired thankfulness. You know, the thankfulness is the, what do you call the room just before you come into another room? Foyer? Well, it's the lobby, yeah, I guess. The lobby just before true and sincere worship. It's part of the process that brings us into the sanctuary. Thankfulness. Where does thankfulness come from? It comes from a heart that is aware of the immensity of God's love and the unworthiness of the beloved, of those who God has loved. When we fall at his feet in thankfulness, we're discovering the place of his glory. We're discovering the place where his footstool is. The place that he says there in Isaiah that he will make glorious, the place of his feet. So folk, God is putting all these elements or factors together in our life. Maybe we don't express them all at the same time, but I'm certain that we have on occasion qualified to be in any of these categories. And certainly as we discover the beauty of thankfulness, we will find the beauty of His glory, the splendor of His presence revealed to us. As we fall, as we turn back to our high priest, as we don't go back to consult our own altars, our own ideas, our own concepts of God. Not that. But as we come back to Jesus, our high priest, and just fall before him and saying, Lord, I thank you so much that you love me. I thank you so much that you redeem me. I thank you so much that you considered me, Lord. That in the midst, in the multitudes, you picked me out. You chose me. You called me. Before I was born even, in my mother's womb, you saw me formed. Hallelujah. I thank you for that. Luke chapter 7 and verse 38. Can we go on, brother? Okay. Luke chapter 7 and verse 38. You remember the woman? She stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. She stood at his feet, behind him weeping. You know, the highest order of worship in the Old Testament is represented in the offering that was poured out, that was poured forth. When a heart becomes melted in the presence of God, that's the highest order of worship that you can attain. And the place of glory is the place where those who love and worship Him do come. When you find someone sincerely loving and worshiping Jesus, I can assure you, you found the footstool of God. That is the place of glory. That is the place where He dwells. He's chosen to adorn and beautify and make that place the dwelling place of His light and His glory. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and held him by his feet and worshiped him. That is the place of glory. That is the place of light. You know, these days we've spoken of the darkness. We've spoken of the coming storm. Our brother last night gave us an overview of many of the natural things that are making up the conspiracy of man and devil against God. But I can assure you, in a parallel sense, God is going to restore His glory to His church. He is restoring His glory. And He's going to have a people that will flock there. He's going to have a people that find that place at His feet. He's going to have a people that will be groomed and qualified, not by anything they have done, but because of His work in their lives. And because of the simplicity of an attitude that simply says, Lord, I just want to be with You. I just want to be with You. That's all. That's all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18. You might recall Moses on the mount speaking with God. He said, he expressed his yearning, he expressed his desire. And he said, I beseech thee, I implore you, I supplicate, I yearn, I call. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Hallelujah. What did God respond? He said in verse 20, he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. There is a place. Jesus said, Father, I would that those that thou hast given to me might be with me and see my glory, the glory that you gave me before the foundation of the world. There is a place. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. We know the cleft in the rock represents what Calvary did to the heart of God. It rent His heart asunder. When Jesus was seen on Calvary in a vision that given to Annie years ago, she did not see Him on a tree or on a pole. She saw Him, as it were, lying down. And she could view His heart. And it was rent. It was open. That's what Calvary did to the heart of God. But you know why He did that? He did that so we could be inserted. So we could be engrafted. So that we could find our place in the cleft of the rock. So that when His glory would shine forth and be manifested, we could have a place of covering. Because in our present state, we cannot stand the glory of God. We need to be under the covering of the work of Calvary, of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That place of glory is being at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. That's the place of glory. That's where I'm covered. God said, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now let's go over to chapter 34 and verse 5 and 6. For there we see the accomplishment, fulfillment of God's answer, response to the prayer of Moses. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the nature, the attributes of the Lord. He proclaimed his own name. He proclaimed his own nature. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin." Hallelujah. "And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, as was said the other day, upon the children, upon the children's children, and the third into the fourth generation." But the place of glory, the place of glory, is the mercy of God. He proclaimed mercy. He proclaimed goodness. He proclaimed compassion. He proclaimed the nature of his own heart, which is an ongoing, ever-giving love. He proclaimed that. It wasn't any man, it wasn't any human vessel that did so. God himself had to do this. No one could substitute his own word, his own impartation, his own declaration. The place of God's glory is the place of his mercy and his grace. You know, I need a lot of it. I need all I can get and more. I need his grace. I need his mercy. But oh, hallelujah, as I come there, as I bow at his feet, as I cast myself at his feet, whether it be just to express my need, whether it be to find healing for my soul or for my body, whether it be to allow him to address my heartache, my doubts and my fears, whether it be to learn of him as I need to apprehend and as I need to learn of him, whether it be to just simply express my gratitude or my thankfulness, or whether it be to love or to worship him for whatever reason, as I find myself at his feet, I discover his glory. You know, you can best see God when you see him from down below. That's the best perspective. And my dear ones, this day, what brings us to this land is simply to share not only the admonition of the Lord regarding what is coming, but also to tell you there is a place. There is a place. We don't need to look at the storm, though we need to understand that it's coming. We don't need to be affected by it. And he was saying there are those who live above the storm. Actually, there are those who live in this place of his sanctuary. So allow God to have full sway in your life. Allow him to groom and prepare you and to deal with you. Just give way. Just give in. And take every opportunity. Don't bypass any opportunity to come to his feet, to come to him. We might recall that in the temple, in the tabernacle of Moses, that plate on top of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. Between the two cherubim. The mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah. I come by mercy. I come in the multitude of his compassions, of his mercy. But I find, oh, that it's the footstool, my God. I find the revelation of his person. I discover the glory and the splendor of who he is. And that's what holds me up. That's what strengthens me. You know why I'm in Uruguay? Ultimately, the purpose is not just to share the gospel. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. And to see him glorified. Oh, that's the ultimate purpose. And dear ones, God is calling each and every one of us. You might say, well, I'm unlikely. I'm just a nobody. Praise God, you are. You have left less obstacles to overcome. You might say, well, I'm so needy. I have so many things that I have to overcome in my life. But oh, if you just come and cast yourself on the mercy seat, you'll discover His glory. You will find what a blessed place. And folk, I wouldn't change 1 minute of being at His feet with any other position. Oh, man can have their applause and their publicity and whatever they want. Their ambitions, fulfillment of their desires, but give me, would it be just 1 moment at the feet of Jesus in His glory, in His grace? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand, please. Jesus. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. It's not because of me. It's because of Him. I can sense the heartbeat of God behind the words we have endeavored to share. Because they're not our words, they're His. Oh, my dear one, let Him woo you, call you, draw you to the place at His feet. Maybe you've tried to hide a very great need in your life. You've tried to make up for it. You've tried to put on. Let me urge you. Tell Him exactly the way it is. Cast yourself at His feet. Tell Him, Lord, I need You. Have there been yearnings that have seemed to go unfulfilled in your life? Things that God has placed down deep in your heart and you've said, Lord, when shall they come to pass? When shall I see Your glory and Your grace and Your power and Your presence as I've longed for, Lord? Lord, so many times we speak of the primitive church. Lord, You don't want to bring us back to the primitive church. You have something greater. You said the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the first house. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty to see Your glory. Oh, God, that's why I come to Your feet today. That's why I come to Your footstool. That's why, oh Lord, I'm willing to tell You exactly what my heart feels and desires. My dear one, my friend, my brother and my sister this morning, just come and place yourself at His feet. Come, whether it be because of need or thankfulness or the desire to learn of Him, or whether it be that you need Him to address your doubts and your aches and your sorrows, whether it be for any other reason, whatever motivates you, allow it to bring you to His feet. And you will discover His glory. Lord, I come to Your feet this day. Jesus, I come to Your footstool this day. My brother, my sister, if just do what the Holy Spirit beckons you to do. Don't hold back. The Word of God is calling to you, to your heart. Just obey it. I'm not even giving out an altar call. If you want to, right where you are, if you prefer to come forward, you can do so. But just come and express your heart. Let the Holy Spirit quicken and bring forth and testify and witness within your heart. Jesus. Jesus. I cast myself at Your feet. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord.
I need your presence and your power. I need your ongoing work. I need your dealings. I need, Lord, that you open my understanding to know you, to know you as you are. And yet at the same time, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to truthfully thank you. I want to learn of you, O Lord. Lord, this is my desire. My dear ones, just open your heart. Just speak with him. Please forget anybody or anyone else, those that are beside you. Make out as if you were alone in this building this morning. But he's here. That's the important thing. You're not alone. He's here. I can feel the anointing. I can sense the presence of God here. I know this is his word. I know this is his calling at this hour. Just respond. Just respond. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming to that place. I'm coming to your feet. I'm coming to your feet, Lord. Oh, take my emptiness and fill it with your spirit. Take my sterile efforts, Lord, and replace them with the power and the anointing from on high. Show me your glory. Reveal, Lord, yourself to every heart. Oh, just talk with him, my dear ones. I exhort you, I urge you to speak with him. Let your yearnings, let your needs be expressed in words. The Old Testament says, bring words. Bring words this day. Yes, he is here, he is here, he is here, he is here. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful, so beautiful. So beautiful, Lord. This is that the prophet spoke of, Lord. This is that, Lord, which was spoken of by the prophets. This is that coming glory, Lord. No longer do we need to wait. We can know it now. We can know it in you. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, just dare to open your heart. Dare to open your mouth. We open our hearts by expressing, by speaking with him. Oh, yes, in the presence of Jehovah, in the presence of Jehovah, in the presence of Jesus. Therein is comfort, therein is life, therein is glory, is revelation. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. He's here, my dear ones. He's here, my dear ones. He's here for you. He's here for me. There is a cleft in the rock. Find your place in the cleft of the rock. Find your place there in the covering of his hand upon you. Let him proclaim mercy and goodness and compassion. Oh, everlasting love. Oh, surround us, enfold us. Lord, there are people here that have been hurting. There are people here, oh God, that have been empty. There are people here that have been hopeless, Lord. They've lost hope. They've said, oh God, when it shall be. We've heard of it for such a long time. But now's the time. Now's the time. This is the day. This is the time. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Just talk with him. Just talk with him. Just speak with him. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, you say, Lord, how about those yearnings I felt for so many years? I know there are many saints here today that have been, God has given promises to many, many years ago. Oh, saints of God, the time of fulfillment is upon us. The glory of God is upon us, but he's upon us in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't miss out by going in some other direction. Come to his feet, come to his place, come to his footstool. Dare to cry out and say, Lord, I need you. Maybe some of you this morning need to cry out and say, Lord, I need you in a new measure. Dare cry out to him. Dare speak with him. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. Reveal your person, your nature, your name in our midst, oh God. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim it. Proclaim it into our hearts, oh Lord. Proclaim it into our beings, oh Master. Oh Master, we would learn of you. We would know you in truth and reality. Yes, 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 yes. Just reach out to him because he's here. He's here. He's here. Oh, Spirit of God, settle in on us. Settle in on us, Lord. We're so frail, so feeble. Many times we don't even know what to do when you come. But Lord, we come to you because we know not. We come to you, Lord, because you're the only one that can teach us your ways. You're the only one, oh God, that can unlock our hearts and unlock our spirits that we might come in, come in, come into the sanctuary, might come into the glorious place. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's it. Just surrender, just surrender, just surrender. Go beyond the threshold of anything you've known. Lord, lead us beyond the threshold of every limitation. Lead us beyond the threshold of our own minds. Lead us beyond the threshold of anything we've known. Oh, bring us into the simplicity. The simplicity, Lord, of coming to your feet. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're so wonderful. Lord, I could spend the rest of my life just at your feet. I could spend eternity just at your feet. Master, Master, I know those promises shall come good, Lord. They shall be fulfilled. You shall have a people that will adorn and beautify the place of your feet. Jesus, Jesus, would I not have any need, I would still worship you. Would I not have any other reason, I would still come. I would still come. I would still come, and I would bow my heart, and I would bow my knees, and I would bow my life. Jesus. You're so sweet, so wonderful, so dear, so near. Master, we sang earlier, nothing compares with you. Nothing is like you. Oh, let your spirit bring it into reality, Lord. Lord, we talk about your things, but so many times, Lord, they're still not real. Bring the reality. Bring the reality, Lord. Oh, puncture our outward veneer, Lord. Oh, Lord, vulnerate our outward man that the inner man might arise, arise to your presence, arise in your spirit. Yes, yes, yes. He's still here. Just let him move. Just speak with him. Just talk with him. Just express your heart to him.
Hearts are made. troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.